You may like to turn in your Bible, please, to the book of Hebrews and chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And may I read, starting in chapter 11, verse 13. Speaking of Old Testament believers, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. They didn't want to go back. The believers didn't want to go back to Egypt. They didn't want to go back to Jerusalem. The believers understood when Jerusalem was ruined by Nebuchadnezzar and Titus, the believers, that it was tomorrow, God's wonderful place. And it wasn't here and now, it was there and then. And that's what they understood. And therefore they were pilgrims and strangers on planet Earth. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so therefore you go through history and come to the 15, 17, and all of that, the Reformation, the 30-year war, and in the process, the Reformation and everyone trying to, in Germany with Luther and all of that, and seeking to come up and all that Luther did and trying to awaken the church, Catholic Church, to get with it, and of course it didn't do that. So now we have the Reformation, and during that period, in Holland, etc., all of that, so you have a bunch of people that appears persecution, Germany, and all of that, and the conflict, all kinds of things. And in the process of all of that, 30-year war and all that, then therefore, you want to keep in mind that the people that were seeking God, and they were, and here's a group over there, and a group of people wanted to get to know God without having to be caught up in the bondage of the system that was there. They wanted to know God. They wanted to grow. They wanted to make God's wonderful truth known. And therefore they left and came over, and they're called pilgrims. The pilgrims came over. That's where the pilgrims came from. And they came because they had no freedom to seek God in the midst of all the persecution and everything else. So therefore they came over and they wanted to know God and meet God and understand God. Remember, Bradford, we want to have a little hill up there with a light on top so that the whole world could see of the wonderful gospel, the good news. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so they had all of these experiences when they got off. Governor Bradford's wife fell overboard and drowned, and they had all kinds of things going in 1620, and the calamities were many, 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 and all over the place. And so in the process, 46 died in the hard, very hard winter. They were placed in unmarked graves so the Indians wouldn't know how many people were left. And later, the whole area where the graves were was plowed over and corn was planted. Now, having said that little bit, and then you end up with 50 out of 103, I think it was, that are left, and with all the sorrow, the heartache, and everything they had, and they went through that. So they had no picnic. They weren't hunters that came. They were craftsmen, people that were not trained to live out in the wilderness. And God blessed them in the midst of all their hardships. And not one of them wanted to go back. All of the pilgrims that survived wanted to stay. They could have gone back, but they didn't want to go back. They hung in there. So they hung in there through the thick and thin of it. And then, of course, as you know, in 1623, the Governor Bradford had a special time. The harvest had been flourishing in all those couple of years. And they were now going to celebrate this wonderful occasion. And in November, December, etc., they landed in Plymouth Rock. And then in 1623, remember, they had this proclamation. I'm going to read it. I was looking at my old proclamations. Governor Rowland, different than Bradford. Governor Rowland's the last proclamation was put out by the state. State, remember, everyone got a copy of the proclamation, and the churches, the schools would read the proclamations. Remember that day? Now, so, but here's one way back then at the beginning. And in so much as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squash, and garden vegetables, and hath made the forests to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, inasmuch as he has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all the pilgrims with your wives and the little ones do gather at the meeting house on the hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th, in the year of our Lord, 1623, since the pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock, there to listen to the pastor and render thanksgiving to Almighty God for all his blessings. So they spent those 3 hours together, and Governor Bradford signed it, Ye Governor of Ye Colony. Now, so that was a proclamation they did, a wonderful thing. And they did that, and I remind myself, and perhaps you, of the hardship. This Thanksgiving proclamation came out of experience. The College of Hard Knocks, it wasn't easy, and they had reached a point where God had given them, and they recognized God's giving at that point in the 1623, and honored God for all that they could be having. They used to have it, and God gave them a little space, and they were to recognize God. Now, so when we come to that, we share together multiple times. Remember that yesterday, that's what they did. They thought of yesterday with the pestilence and all the things they had to go through, the people that they used to be there that all died for one reason or another, and they all died. So we have to go back. They had to go back and look at yesterday in order to proceed forward. So here we are at Thanksgiving in these United States, and we're looking. And therefore, when we go forward, what are they going to do? How are they going to go forward? They could go forward on fear and trembling that things could be bad again, but they didn't. They looked to God with thanksgiving, that's all. They had no idea of what 1624 was going to be. I didn't know how anything was going to go. But they looked to God with thanksgiving. So now we're looking. And therefore, we learn the lesson, A, from them, that you don't want to proceed. You want to look back in your life, the last up, even this day has all gone by. And you want to look back, and you don't want to view it wrongly. How am I going to overcome my wrong thinking about today? I may have right thinking, I may have wrong thinking, but I don't want to get caught up in that. Did I appreciate, what am I unappreciative of today? Today, thus and thus and thus and thus happened. And if I'm unappreciative and I am going to think about it and fool with it, as I go back in my past and I bring all of that forward into the present moment, and when I do, I've got a whole lot of baggage. Things that I just didn't think about right, didn't understand right, I didn't appreciate, I didn't accept something, good or bad. I got caught up in it, and I'm carrying it. Carrying it. That's what our mind does, a wonderful mental mind. And we carry it forward. So then when we come to right now, you're going to be able to appreciate the next moment based on the fact of how much baggage you've got. If you've got a lot of baggage, and then you're going to have a little, we're going to try to claim something now in the light of tomorrow, in the light of all the baggage. And when you do that, it's just too much. Just think of carrying a big pile of stuff and then adding to it and trying to handle the next thing. And your hands are so full of everything, you can't handle it. So you don't want to do that. And that's what we do with our mind. We do that. And we're going to see that, remind ourselves of that. And if I carry that baggage, and I want to cure it, I want to learn how not to do it, then I'm going to go into tomorrow. And then as I go into tomorrow, I'm already conditioned mentally in what I'm carrying and everything by the past time. And if I don't deal with it, it's going to deepen in my mind and heart, get tucked away, just like you do when you pile things up, and then you get more stuff and you didn't have time to fix something, so you put more stuff on top of that and more stuff on top of that. Just think of a drawer or something. You put something in it, and you're going to deal with it, and then you put something else in it, something else in it, and something else in it, but nothing's taken care of. It's just piling up. Now, all of that's there. It isn't that. So I'm trying to go forward with that, with all that. Now, the solution. What is the simple, wonderful solution? And remember now, discontent that we have is the penalty we must pay for being unthankful and ungrateful for all that we have. You cannot be thankful and unhappy at the same time. Try it. You can't be thankful and unhappy at the same time. Now that's interesting, because we have all the discontent and all the stuff we mumble and grumble and carry it, and we do it. And that's because God told us very simply to say thank you. That's what he said to do, and that's what we ought to do. Now, in the light of that, therefore, thanksgiving, God, you require thanksgiving. You're the creator. We just did all those little studies, all those times together, of reminding ourselves of why God is doing what he's doing today. And we need to understand what he's after. He's after his glory and his honor, among other things. Now, and therefore, how are we going to ever how are we going to survive on planet Earth? Just think of the pilgrims in the Reformation period, over there in Europe and back over here. And having to go through and that's why we're here today and have Thanksgiving. God, you require Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving, therefore, you require us to be thankful about that, which is whether this or that, you know, what is the basis for our Thanksgiving? Is this or that? No, the basis of Thanksgiving is God. Simple. The basis of being thankful is the person of God. I can tell you all kinds of things to be thankful for. But God's trying to help us. Hang on, we'll see if we can get it. Now, in the process, so it isn't a question whether we understand or don't understand. We're to be thankful regardless, no matter what. And therefore, when we're thankful, it helps us to proceed properly. And you want answers to things. You have to start with being in the place to get answers. And therefore, you need to be thankful. You want answers? You want answers. Be thankful. That you got to have the right attitude. Gratitude. You got to have that if you want it. Now you say, no, that isn't. Yes, it is. You have to think about it and lock it in. If God made it more complicated, we'd never get any. God's trying to tell you, you want to have answers? Be thankful. And then you can proceed, and you'll have answers ultimately. But you've got to be thankful. And you can't carry the baggage. You don't want to carry the baggage. You don't want to do that. So now, having said that little bit, over if you would please in the light of that. And remember, the being thankful is not dependent on what you see, smell, taste, touch, want, wish. Being thankful isn't dependent on anything or anyone. So you say, well, what am I going to be thankful for? Whoops. Forget that. You're not going to do that because God didn't instruct you that way as a believer, as a person, to get there. You got to know God and be thankful. Now, so having said that, Psalm 136. No, before that, Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. And for time's sake, may I go down in the light of it. Verse 10. Thus saith the Lord, 33:10. Thus saith the Lord again, there shall be heard in this place. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar is going to level it. Which you say shall be desolate, without man, without beast, even in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate, without man, and without inhabitant, and without beast. You know what it's going to be like. And we tell you, we've been studying Jeremiah, so you know. And thus, God's encouraging them. Verse 11, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. I'm going to bring you all back. I'm going to bring back, I should say. You're going to have a wonderful time. I'm going to bring it. So in the ruined, I'm going to put it all together. So I want you to know, I let it happen to get ruined, but I'm going to bring it out good. And I want you to know, I want you to be looking and understand, I'm going to do what I do, and I want you to realize, hang on to the little word, mercy. That has to do, the word, the root, to be inclined to something, to bend down to get something, to bend down to help somebody. To be inclined, to bend down, to help, to come down. Mercy, the favor of God, the grace of God, to bend down and be merciful to you. When you think of the word mercy, we will never get there, but a little to remind you. You want to think of the word miserable. Mercy is to help you in the light of the miserableness. Well, nothing, no. Miserableness, what is that? The word wretchedness. Wretched. If you look at miserableness, the word, what's miserable mean? It means wretchedness, unfortunate. And when you go from miserable, you go to connected, actually ahead of that, is miser. Miser is the root. For miserableness, being a miser, being wretched, being miserable, having no fortune, not good, wretchedness. So when you go to miser, you go to miserable, you go to misery, a state of being miserable. All three words, same word, wretched. Now, what does mercy do? Mercy answers our human condition. You say our condition isn't bad. Hold it. You and I are subject to disease and everything under the sun. And we have a good day and we last a little bit in God's grace, but you and I, we're all subject to the disease and death and everything else going on. And we don't even know our condition. And we only can recognize the difference in our condition when we look at other countries of the world. If you looked at North Korea, you look at other places of the world where they're killing them and putting them in prison by the dozens, thousands. Wow. And then we realize that we have no one blew us up yet. Wow. And you begin. You have to put it together. So our lot on planet Earth isn't quite so glorious as we think, as we'd like it to be. God said, do you understand the reality? It's all terminated. It's no good. It's condemned. I'm telling you, it's a miserable thing you've got. And what do you need? Mercy. You need my mercy. Hang on to that. You need that. If I wasn't merciful to you, I would leave you in your misery and your miserableness. But because I am merciful, that's where you say thank you. Because you say, but, I don't see, I don't feel. There's a question of that. Right now, in his presence, he is being merciful to us. Now, over to Ezra. Ezra, on your way back, after Jeremiah, remember Babylonian captivity, and Ezra, they go back and build the temple after it was torn down and all that stuff. And in Ezra, and chapter 3, if I can, and picking up, please, chapter 3 and in verse 11. And if I can, 3 and 11. Now, this is, remember now, dedication, I'm just interested in each time. Verse 11, chapter 3. And they sing together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy, there's your word, endureth forever toward Israel. Ever. Dear God, are you ever unmerciful? No. Therefore, you want to always be thankful. Therefore, and all people shouted, and with a great shout, when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. And so they're all excited. God is doing something. It isn't anything like it used to be, but isn't it good that it is what it is? And being thankful. If you're going to go like some of them did and compare what it was when they knew when Solomon's temple was, etc., then wow. But you don't do that. If you do that, you're making wrong comparisons. You're trying to compare yourself when you were 20. But you aren't 20 anymore. Well, some of you are. You aren't 20. You're trying to compare yourself. You're trying to put things. It isn't going to be that. It isn't. It's only for a moment. You only can be 16. For 1 second, and the minute you end 1 second from your birth, you moved into the next one. Wow. There's no way to stop. No. So therefore, go back with me to Psalm 136. And just remember the book, God put it right in the middle of his word so that we'd have it, so that we'd go from the Old Testament to the New, to here we are. So we have something to work with in handling things. So here's Psalm 136, if I can. And picking up, please, in verse 1. Now remember our word mercy. God's giving of himself, bending down, favor. He's giving you favor, his grace, his kindness to you in the light of your miserable state on planet Earth. We're all there. We're all in the world of the devil, the god of this world, doing what he does. And we're all caught up in a body of sin and failure and death, as it were. Now, so here's Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him, verse 5, that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 8, the sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. God, we keep reading. Wow. He's just, listen, you understand, it's my creation, my job to manage it. And you're in the middle of it. Would you trust me and understand, thank me for what I am doing and you don't even know about it? What happens if I remove the law of gravity right now? What happens if I did that? What happens if I moved anything? What happens if I move one of the stars a little further from the sun? A planet, I should say. Wow. So God says, listen, would you honor me? But what, for what reason? Because I'm God. We've been trying to share that with us. Now, and God, so your mercy endureth forever and ever and ever and ever. Pick up verse 25 on the psalm. For he giveth food to all flesh. That's right. All of them get, if they just get with it, they grow the corn and everything else. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven. Why? For his mercy endureth forever. So we're going to have a thankful heart. And I'm going to just bother, you know, if you have it. You have to have it. That's how I go up the stairs. That's how you do. You're thankful. Thankful you can thank for the things you have with your body. Do you thank God that you can use the eyes, your body, your bathroom? Do you thank God for that? There are people that can't do things. Thank you that you have a little bit of sight, a little bit of anything. Don't try to covet and do that. Thank God you got anything. That's the beginning. And once you lose the thanksgiving, I'm telling you, all you do is look at people. And they lost it. They got all the baggage. And they're trying to go forward. And you can't go forward. The only way you can go forward is to thankfully understand God's wonderful mercy and his wonderful grace. Psalm 107. In Psalm 107, would you notice all over the place, but here's another one. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. God, and then you slide down to all of the wonderful sections, and you go to verse 8, for instance. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, to verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Our people, what is Romans 1 about? Would not glorify God, and they would not be thankful to God. That's the unsaved world. They owe God thanksgiving, and they don't pay the bill. They don't pay the bill. They owe God, but they don't do it. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so looking to God to deal with our heads and deal with our hearts in a way that honors him most wonderfully. So God, now remember now, in the process, we shared the pilgrims. And the pilgrims, they're our example. That's how they succeeded. They didn't have an easy time, but they set the pace. They had the first Thanksgiving for us. And for them in this country, and they did that And they did that, and we want to learn from it. Now, we could have Lincoln's proclamation and all of that, and all of those are wonderful things, but you're going to go back to the beginning of why they even had Thanksgiving, if we're going to be educated a little bit about why and how it works. Therefore, without taking time, would you remember if we looked at Job, remember, did Job complain in the sense? No, he didn't. In one sense, he didn't at all. Another sense, he did, but not really, comparatively. He didn't do that. He said, is it not good, Job 2, that God allows good and evil in our life? God lets good things happen and bad things happen? Isn't God fair? Isn't God all right to do that? And therefore, Job, what did you do? In the midst of being put in the waste heap with all of your plague and all of your terrible circumstances on the dump, what did you do? You learned to look to God, to thank God. You spent enough time before Him looking to learn to be thankful. And if you don't think about it, you have no reason to be thankful from a human standpoint on a daily 24-hour-a-day basis. You're looking for something to be thankful for. But if you get a little more understanding, we get a little closer and a little more with it, God, we got awesome to be thankful for. Awesomely to be thankful, to be wonderfully, wonderfully thankful in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, over if you would please, in a little bit let me just hit it from where we are in the church, in the body of Christ. If you're a believer, if you're unsaved, you need to be thankful. You want to get along with God, and you want to get there, you're going to have to learn to be thankful. And I'll say it again for the umpteenth time to myself and everyone else. Practice Thanksgiving. Practice it. Go to bed with Thanksgiving. Get up with Thanksgiving. In the night, be thankful. In the easy and the hard, much and the little, thank you very much. And that's how you approach each moment. And then you're in the right place for God to help us. So we aren't burdened and buried because God took care of everything yesterday, forgetting those things which are behind. We can't carry the baggage. We aren't equipped to carry the baggage. We don't know how to carry the baggage. And God never told us to in the first place. Sufficient, Matthew chapter 6, sufficient today is the evil trouble. Today is enough. Don't go and try to add tomorrow's to it. Just tackle today. How am I going to tackle today? Thank you, God. Thank you for the day. No matter how, no matter who, no matter what, the mercy, God, sun, moon, stars, are you on the job? Absolutely. Now, over to 1 Thessalonians. No, before you do that, over to Philippians. And all kinds of ways, God over and over and over and over and over again repeats it, and we just have to get the message of it, though, how it is so... all-encompassing. And in Philippians, chapter 4, you're familiar with it. Philippians chapter 4, be careful, don't worry, be careful, don't worry, stop, literally command, stop worrying. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, looking to God, making sure God's there. Mm-hmm. That's what we try to do. We're in the presence of God, we want to practice it. And supplication, when this is a particular thing, God, we're going to give it to you to work out. You take care of it. And we're going to do so with thanksgiving. And let your requests be made known unto God. Make sure you do what you do with thanksgiving. When you talk to me, be thankful. Be one thankful person when you open your mouth in my presence. When you look to me. And verse 7, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep and guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wow. And all you told me to do is be thankful. Well, there must be something else. No. No, because you aren't God. You're just you. You can't be God. I'm God, he said. See, we don't want to have two gods. I'm God and you're just my creation. So don't play God. Don't play God with me. Don't do that. Be thankful. I'm the boss. Capital Big B. Now, therefore, with thanksgiving, over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. May I pick up, please, in verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Walk with thanksgiving. That's right. Rooted, verse 7, and built up in him, established in the faith, the body of truth to be believed, as you have been taught. So what have we been taught? Taught rightly, abounding with what? How are we supposed to live moment by moment? As we believe us, as we receive the Lord, we trust him, walk in him, and we're going to live like that, and we're going to do so with, the end of verse 7, thanksgiving. You want to know how to do it? Thankful. When you're thankful, you can't be unhappy, and you get rid of all your discontent. Because you can't be thankful and discontent. It'll all go, you can't do it. So when you got all that grumbling, you aren't thankful. You aren't a thankful believer. You aren't a thankful person. Wow. So now, and while you're in the Colossians, over to chapter 3. Chapter 3. And picking up, if I may, in verse 17. Whatsoever you do, ye do, in word or deed, whatever you're doing, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when you do, much or little, easy or hard, when you succeed or fall down flat on your face, make sure you do it and move forward with, verse 17, thanksgiving. With giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That's what you're going to do. You're not thanking God for falling down, getting a bloody nose. No, you're thanking God because of the Lord Jesus Christ who died, who made a... He wants to know. We're in his presence. He wants to be God. We're in his presence. So therefore, whatever we do with thanksgiving. Uh-huh. No matter what. Whether we're talking to you, God, thank you. Whether we're working this way, thank you. Work, home, school, play. Over, if you would, please, to Ephesians. Thessalonians, better. And in First Thessalonians, if I can, in chapter 5, you know the wonderful, you want to know the will of God? What's the will of God for your life? Verse 16, 5, 16, rejoice evermore. That's in the present tense, it's a command. Be doing what? Rejoicing. Thankfully. Secondly, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Don't stop talking to me, looking to me, trusting in me. That's what we do. And that's what I'm trying to help you to do a little bit by example. I don't have to pray every minute. Are we in God's presence or aren't we? And if we're in God's presence, I don't have to find God. I don't have to hunt for God. I'm in his presence. And God knows. We're looking. That's what you asked me to do. Ask us to do. To believe. That's all. Believe. To believe that I am what? Without faith it's impossible to please. He that cometh to God must believe that he what? He is. That's what he's looking for. I'm not trying to find him out there somewhere. We're in his presence. We want to practice that for real. And now the third thing, as you know, verse 18, in everything, underline in your mind at least, in everything give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What is God's will for your life? To give thank you. To live with thanksgiving. And you don't learn how, you get rid of the baggage, which God never told you to carry. And God said, listen, if I didn't forgive your sins, you'd be in trouble. If I let you go And you have to learn to look to me. That's how we do it. And God would just say, God, we stumble. It's us. But we, in the light of the angels, God is right and I'm wrong. Simple. That takes care of that. That's what we do. So we're free to go. So now, having said that a little bit, having said that, the key, be thankful. A Thanksgiving season, Thanksgiving Day, is to help us to be thankful. That humor, right? We have Thanksgiving as believers to help us to learn to be thankful. We have a little, it isn't the turkey or the duck or whatever you got, partridge or pigeon, it doesn't matter. It's to learn to be thankful. That's what it's all about. And that's the starting point. You want to get along with God and go with God, and God will bless you. I'm telling you how it is. It's a wonderful thing. Therefore, we're going to close in prayer, wishing you a happy thankfulness as you practice it. That's a prayer request. Practice being thankful. I didn't ask whether you were saved or not. Practice being thankful. And you'll ultimately get saved, and you'll ultimately start coming out and having a little better oomph in your life for God. And you'll be a little more pleasant person to be with. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts, our homes, our health. Thank you very much for the young people, old people, the little ones. God, for the people that are sick, people that are away, God, here we are. And all we can do, God, we can't even, the overwhelmingness of everything, even in our little heart, overwhelms us. So God, we're looking to you with thanksgiving, thanking you for being our Savior and Lord, our Shepherd, God, our Sovereign Savior. God, we owe you, I owe you, we owe you every single second. God, that's why we're alive, that's why we're here, to be able to know and honor your wonderful person. Thank you very much, God. I say it over and over forever. Thank you. So we're looking to you. Thank you again. Grant your blessing and your grace and your mercy. And like as you told us, to come boldly to the throne of your grace, that we may find mercy, find grace, and obtain mercy, to receive the mercy and to discover the grace in the time. God, always on time, mercy and grace. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, thank you. Amen.